it's Cofield and Company.
But you know why I say I'm not on it? Because I go back to that Michael Jordan theory. Disrespectful. Do I think I would have killed Wilt? Yes. Do I think I would have done that soon? Yes. But it's disrespectful. They paved the way for me. They showed me what it was to be a great
man. So you agree
so I'm putting them on that list.
So you agree if we go offset, you go, hey, yeah, put me on there.
No, I'm not on that. I'm not on that because Kareem was the man.
What's hard like, for
you
me?
Know, a lot of people don't really talk about him when it comes to the, you know, thanks, being the greatest player. So as a big man, I'm going to make sure his name.
Shaq, showing respect to the old timers. Chrissy's here, Cofield, Adam Hill. We continue the royalty hour. Old timer John Von Tobel is in studio. Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
Boy, we missed a lot yesterday with Adam being out. I know it sounds nice, right? I know it sounds nice for once for being nice. We will get back to his Dana White dinner in a little bit, but you missed National Mascot Day.
No, I missed it here. I celebrated.
What'd you do?
Just kind of, you know, scroll through photos of mascots and analyze them and, you know, celebrated their greatness.
What? That sounds kind of creepy. I don't on my computer looking at mascots all night.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a little weird. I was just trying to quickly determine how one would celebrate National Mascot Day.
What was the mascot collection out at the softball game, the big charity softball game?
All of the local mascots were there. All of them.
Are you happy?
I was very... Actually, sorry... Cash was missing because they had a game.
Cash, the soccer rocker.
Yeah.
Okay. You said Chance. What happened to Chance?
He got laid out by Vontaze Burfict in the outfield.
How nice was that?
That's great.
Adam cannot stand Chance.
Chance also played a big role in the game because Eric Howla, Golden Knights, you know, forward, who had missed most of the season with a knee injury, went up to bat. Now, his plan, I had heard before the game from him, the plan was single, trot to first, get a pinch runner. However, his first at bat, he hit one in the gap and decided to leg out an inside the park home run.
Oh!
And everybody's breath was held as he circled the bases. Kind of limped around a little bit after he was done, but he said everything was fine, everything was good.
Oh my God.
So, could breathe a sigh of relief. But his next at bat, he followed his plan, singled, trotted to first, and then called Chance in to be the pinch runner. Which, so good for him. Chance got involved. He got to play. That was nice. But certainly, there's no doubt who the best local mascot is. I don't think anybody denies that. It's clearly Buckets.
Oh, okay.
Who's Buckets?
The Aces mascot.
Yeah. I can
what is Buckets?
It's a bunny. It's amazing.
Is the alien still a thing?
No.
The only reason I asked is because I saw a picture of all the Las Vegas mascots like 2 months ago, and Cosmo was still in there.
Well, somebody just didn't update it.
Okay, because I was a little angry.
I mean, I'm sure the costume is somewhere.
Like, I'm sure just collecting.
They didn't like burn it up in an incinerator.
You think the person who was Cosmo has it at home?
Maybe
thinking of better days.
Maybe they're the aviator now.
It's a step up.
So locally, is Chance the worst?
I mean, Chance is awful.
Why?
He sucks.
I think he's second. I rank him second.
I think he's fine.
He's a Gila monster, isn't he?
Yes.
Can we get that right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's not a lizard.
Gila monsters are lizards?
Specifically, he is a Gila monster.
He is. I'm not giving him that kind of respect.
That's like calling Buckets a rodent.
Screw Chance. And by the way,
screw Chance.
Yes, because Chance also is very obnoxious because, and you're probably listening, Chance, because Chance knows everything I've said about Chance here on the show.
How's that right?
And constantly comes up to me at games and tries to, like, be my friend. I don't want to be your friend, Chance. I'm not kidding. You suck. I don't like you. You're a bad mascot.
He thinks it's a joke.
Stop coming up to me like trying to fist bump me during games. Again on Saturday. I'm on the field at the softball thing, and Chance comes over, puts his arm around me. No, Chance. I don't like you.
It's crossing over into harassment territory.
It is. I didn't like it. Very uncomfortable. Don't tell me to change gears.
But he's wearing pants.
John, repeat that.
He's wearing pants.
Yeah, but he's stupid. It's not just about wearing pants. Wearing pants is a key element to being a good mascot, but it's not the end-all, be-all.
For the people who are new to Las Vegas, this is very entertaining. Please repeat your issue with mascots and pants led by Clark the Cub.
Well, the mascots don't have to be wearing pants necessarily. But if you wear a shirt, you gosh darn better be wearing pants too. Because why on earth are you wearing a shirt?
Because you're representing the team.
By the way, I said that because I don't want to curse, because I was very angry with it. No. If you're wearing a shirt, you're wearing a shirt to cover something.
No, you're wearing it to represent the team.
But you acknowledge that clothes are a thing in this mascot world. Then wear pants, bro. You don't wear a shirt and not pants. That's weird.
What if the shirt was unbuttoned and open with no pants?
That's even worse. What are you, a flasher?
Well, no, because I think that's just saying I'm representing the team, but we are comfortable being naked.
The mascot represents the team. You, by nature, your existence represents the team. You don't need a dumb shirt to say it.
I think you do.
But that's fine. Wear the shirt.
If there was just a rabbit walking around Aces games, you wouldn't know.
Yes, you would. You'd be. What are you? Somebody let a rabbit in? Like, you know, it's a mascot. I think we've come to understand over the years that a giant furry animal, like a costume, is a mascot of the team.
Not always a furry animal.
That's true. The stupid Euro mascot. But I just feel like if you wear a shirt, you're acknowledging that clothes exist in this mascot world, and you should probably wear pants.
How many bottomless mascots were there?
I feel like there was none.
Hey, what about Spruce?
Well, Spruce is its own thing. Because I'm very annoyed because it's fine.
Is it a goose or a duck?
Well, that's the thing. It's a goose. But what I was getting at is you're just sitting there. And since I was on the field, I was kind of around Spruce. And everybody's like, hey, duck! Can I get a picture of duck? And you're like, okay, clearly he's not serving his purpose. Nobody knows that it's a goose. It's a goose.
Why do they make it look like a duck?
Well, I think geese and duck look similar.
I'm with Adam here.
They're pretty similar creatures.
Is there like some like one factor that makes you stand out from geese to ducks?
They're the same.
I think it's the color. Like if he was green, I guess he would be considered
more. I feel like
more
duck mascots always
goose.
Have hair and geese. I don't know. Are there geese mascots? That's the other thing. It's a barrier breaker. You're not even really that proud to be a goose.
It's true.
Be a goose. If you're going to do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Now, we may have found the worst mascot of 2019, 2020. Euro 2020 is what?
Skills? Is that his name?
And it's just a human being.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Skillsy.
It's a very weird-looking guy.
It's like an anime version of a human.
Right, but the weird part is, like, his legs look like human legs.
Oh, no.
And it's like the... It's very weird.
Did we get a full shot?
Yeah, it's like it's literally.
Oh, it's definitely wearing pants.
Yeah, no,
that's a terrible mascot.
Yeah, it's awful. Like it's literally. Just
you're not
a
anti, but you're not anti-human mascots.
No, you can pull them off.
I am, if it's like this, like the Fighting Irish, how they just have like a regular dude in like Irish wear. That's fine. What is? Why do you just make him wear one weird?
Like, do you
head?
Do you like the Aztec or the Boilermaker?
I feel like I like the Boilermaker better.
Yeah, I think I like costume mascot.
Yeah.
Human mascots over real people.
But the Boilermaker is made to look like a mascot.
Like that's a character.
It's a caricature of a person. It's not a real person. Like, this mascot, they're trying to actually make, like, a sim version of a person.
What's the worst mascot you've ever seen?
Clark the Cub is the worst thing that's ever happened to society in general. That thing sucked.
I think one of the worst we've ever seen was it was a college basketball tournament in Southern California. Do you remember Pumpy?
Yes. Wasn't it the 66 station or?
Yeah, it's just a gas pump.
Yeah.
It's just a gas pump walking around. It's just stupid. Come on.
That was a pretty bad
Hey,
one.
There's Pumpy. I like the name. Pumpy's a good name.
Yeah, it's a good name. They didn't really try that hard with him, though.
Gritty's pretty bad.
What?
What?
Oh, come on. That's it.
Hold on.
You are banned.
He doesn't wear pants. He doesn't wear pants.
Stop it. Gritty's amazing.
He doesn't wear pants.
Gritty can do whatever he wants.
No.
Does he wear a shirt?
He doesn't wear Yes, he wears a shirt. What are you talking about?
He wears the Flyers jersey all the time.
Yes. Hold on. And even more ridiculous, he wears a helmet.
Gritty is
but
amazing.
But no knee pads.
Rules are rules.
Yes.
He's got shorts on.
Does he?
He always has shorts on. Yes.
I don't think so.
I'm looking at him right
now. Maybe he's got different outfits.
He's got black shorts.
He does. All right.
Yeah. Stop it.
He still sucks.
I would have noticed that if Gritty wasn't wearing pants.
He still sucks.
All right. We can't do the entire Big Five. Well, we can. Let's
Gritty's,
keep going.
Gritty's Instagram is amazing.
Top four.
Number four.
So the odds are out for Rookie of the Year in the NBA. The draft goes down on Thursday. Zion Williamson is a runaway favorite. Will anyone actually bet this? Zion Williamson to win Rookie of the Year minus 450. 2-9.
No, absolutely not. I mean, do not bet this. Please don't bet it out there. just please don't.
John?
No, I'm out.
First of all, I don't think he's going to be rookie of the year, but it's also just a ridiculous line. That is insanity.
Ja Morant, RJ Barrett, plus 450. Take a shot?
I'll take Ja.
Yeah. I mean, I think if any of the last few years have taught us, like, ball dominant, power, like, you know, point guards, anything like that, you have a much better shot to win rookie of the year as opposed to somebody who's going to play off the ball or anything like that. So I'd go that route, guard-oriented, point-forward-oriented.
Holy hype. All right, top three stories.
Number three.
That's insane, 450. Why is Dwayne Wade getting guff for a picture he sent out?
Well, I actually didn't understand this, and I was hoping you guys would help me out with this because Dwayne Wade's son, Zion, wanted to go to the Miami Pride Parade, I should say. And I guess he was getting criticized, and I didn't understand if the criticism was for bringing his son there or for supporting said son. Because Dwayne Wade was criticized to the point where he actually had to come out. He said, this is my job as a father. I'm really uneasy about accolades that come from supporting my kids or the negativity that comes from it. I'm doing what every parent has to do. And I was just curious, like, what's the negative aspect of Dwayne Wade bringing his son out? If his son feels comfortable and this is something that he wants, or this is just a general society kind of sucks and you're going to criticize because people don't agree with, you know, the whole...
I think Wade was at a road game and Gabriel Union took the kid.
Yeah.
And he just shared a photo of it on his Instagram, which, okay. I would imagine, and again, reading through the story, they don't really get into what criticism was. It's just Dwayne Wade saying that he was criticized. My thought would be that he's 12 and maybe confused and doesn't know exactly what he wants or what he wants to support or anything like that, and that you're encouraging him in some way by doing it. That's preposterous in every way. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I could think of that was possibly the criticism that he was taking for this. That seems, just completely short-sighted and ignorant of people to be critiquing him in that way. And it doesn't say how. I mean, again, the kid's 12.
Yeah.
Like in, it's not even saying, hey, the kid is gay or anything like that. Like he's supporting his friends and the community and like being a part of something. Like I don't understand criticism on this at all.
Yeah, I saw a couple of the faceless, the usual faceless, no avatar Twitter comments on the article or things like that where it's, you know, I'll pray for you as you go to hell. And, you know, obviously some of the callous and terrible things that people say. But I also thought that maybe this was, because I know that, you know, like the industries, the companies get in trouble, or not in trouble. They face criticism because, you know, 11 out of the 12 months, there's nothing about pride and supporting the LGBT community. And then all of a sudden, bam, this month it's, hey, let's change our logo to rainbows and, you know, let's tweet this out and let's try to get some pub. Taylor Swift has her new single that apparently is jumping on this train. I thought maybe that was part of the criticism, but it seems like,
yeah. Huh? Her new album's not even coming out till like August. And yeah. She's, you know, it's very weird.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Comes up on the show. Adam's all in.
Yeah.
Good.
Don't ever say anything bad about her.
You can say, yeah, don't
Gritty and Taylor Swift.
Say what you want about Taylor
but
Swift.
But you are. Be careful. Don't rip Gritty. Jeopardy James, who, by the way, was on the show earlier. We'll have that podcasted and hopefully a video out. He wasn't in studio, but he was on the phone. But Jeopardy James in town for the NHL Awards. He's one of the presenters tomorrow night. Top two stories.
Number two.
Knicks, wheeling and dealing? No. What happened with the number three pick?
Well, they were offered two picks in exchange for that number three pick from Atlanta, the 8th and the 10th overall, and the Knicks have said no thanks. So Atlanta has moved on. They're trying to package the 8th and the 10th now for the 4th pick from the Pelicans, which we will see what the Pelicans decide to do. They at least seem a little bit more open to the possibility.
So what's the goal here?
I don't know.
I mean, you're talking about a draft where I will guarantee you there's some productive players after three, although we keep hearing, hey, it's only a three-player draft. They don't seem to be that concerned between three and four.
Right, which is weird.
Right.
I mean, that's clearly somebody else they want that's like from the 4 to 7 range that they don't think they're going to be able to get at the 8th pick.
All right.
And that they have to move up. But, man, for me, I would have a tough time giving up for any of those players in that range. I'd have a tough time giving up two picks. I'd much rather have the 2 at 8 and 10 than the 4th pick.
What about Barrett?
I'm not convinced, especially if I can get two top 10 guys.
I agree. You?
Yeah, I would agree.
Three-player draft. It's guaranteed. There's only three players.
Yeah,
none of these guys are guaranteed.
Well, it seems to kind of be breaking towards a four-player draft. Like, Darius Garland really seems that's the name that really seems to be floating around, number four, that, like, a lot of people really want to covet. And I think if you're New Orleans from their perspective, I think they have a really good shot at building a playoff team, like, this season. And I think with that fourth pick, like, you want a guy. Like, you want somebody that you can use starting today.
That was the other rumor, is that they want to take the four pick and spin it for a player who can actually start or be a top seven guy. Would you do that?
Sure.
Try to start winning right now?
Depending on who you can get for that pick and who would be available. But I would have a hard time turning down two top 10 picks for that four pick, for sure. But if there's deals out there to be had for, you know, some impact player that's going to jump in and help you this year, then fine.
Well, let's address this. Should the Pelicans be building or trying to win now?
Why can't you do both?
With their roster, they're going to be okay. So I think you can, yeah. I mean,
I say you try to win now.
Yeah.
Because the window, as soon as Zion Williamson is drafted, is closing. I know that sounds terrible. He ain't staying. You just saw the lesson.
Well.
So this is a now proposition.
Might not be in New Orleans by the time the deal's over, and maybe he does stay around.
But I mean, look what
they're the Las Vegas Pelicans, and after year four. Maybe it's more enticing.
I would say look what the Clippers did. I think they did both at the same time. They built for the future and won, and they got the eighth seed and pushed the Warriors to six games. But the core of it was Landry Shamet, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like good young guys that they used and acquired to the draft. So I think you can do both in this NBA.
Their starters are now very young.
Hmm.
So, I mean, they're going to be building either way, but they can also try to win.
Top story.
Number one.
We go back to the well on this one because yesterday, Adam Hill had dinner, hung out with Dana White.
That was cool.
God, you're important.
I was peeping the Instagram story after you fed treats to your dog.
I mean, that was very important part of the day.
What is that?
I was trying to watch The Office late last night, and my dogs were just standing in front of me yelping for a treat. And I posted on Instagram, like, it's not going to work. And then later on, posted an Instagram story, like, it worked. Here's some treats.
Very empty living room, I noticed.
Yeah, there's been some changes going on.
Okay.
They're minimalist. Wait, what changes? What happened?
No, just changing out some of the furniture.
Oh, you're swapping stuff out?
Yeah, some of it's gone, some of it's not in.
Must be nice. What a life. Buying new furniture, hanging out with Dana White, having dinner.
Yeah. Two jobs, it helps. It's nice.
All right, what happened? What happened? On the subject of the NFL, because we hit on this last week, Dana White was interviewed by TMZ. That came after an interview of Lorenzo Fertitta by TMZ. And Dana strongly said, I guarantee these guys will be in the NFL someday, the Fertitta brothers. I want to be part of it.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. He said, we will buy an NFL team. And he said, to clarify, Lorenzo and his family will buy an NFL team, and I will be a part of it. He also said, hey, listen, I'm a fight guy. I'm not going to be, like, the general manager or anything. People are like, Dana's going to run this. Like, no, he wants to be a part of it. He wants to be a part owner. He's like, I'm not signing players. I'm not making decisions. I'm not coaching the defense.
That would be awesome.
I just want to be a part of it. And so he said it will happen. Now, he has said in other interviews, and he may have, you know, backed off of this because I know people are talking about it. He listed actual teams, and people are like, wait a minute. Because he said, I heard the Panthers were for sale. They just sold. So he heard that a while ago. And then he said he heard the Chargers and Broncos were potentially for sale, which are teams whose owners have just died, but the families are running them. So I don't know that you want to be specific about teams that you're trying to pursue.
Yeah, I mean, I would say in the case of the Chargers, the old man died. The Spanos that we have become accustomed to, who's been running the club, is still here.
Right. And with the Broncos, I know Bolin is still the owner, but he really hasn't been around for 5 years.
Right. But he passed away.
Yeah.
So now the wife is left, and she's also suffering from something, dementia or Parkinson's. Should be specific on that, but I know she's not well.
Right.
That's the team I named.
Seattle? Are they? Because Paul Allen passed away last year, right?
Did he mention Seattle?
No. He mentioned Panthers, Chargers, Broncos.
Yeah. I mean, could you see the Chargers trying to cash in now? As they're moving into the stadium?
Just about to move into a new stadium where you right? should theoretically get more valuable, although they don't really get anything out of the deal.
Wasn't that the whole point of freaking...
I thought so.
Moving, unless, like, make some money for a while?
Unless it was move to make yourself more attractive to sell.
Possibly. Well, that'd be a coup, huh? Casino owners who basically were, you know, their names were Mud, not specifically the Fertittas, but just the fact that they were casino owners, had no shot of ever getting in the NFL, and all of a sudden, hey, here's LA.
Yeah, I still don't really see it. Like, I don't see the NFL owners welcoming that group. As much as, like...
What does that mean?
I think they're interesting. Like, they're too... And the Fertittas and Dana are certainly different. And the Fertittas are just business guys. They're behind the scenes, and it's different. But, like, especially if you're like, hey, here's our ownership group. It's going to be the Fertittas, and they're going to run it. And then Dana's going to be, like, the bombastic voice. So I think the NFL will be like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, what do you think of that? Because we were talking about this last week, and I'm like, I don't know, man. These guys are freaking pretty buttoned up. You know? If there's something that's... I mean, come on. Can you imagine Dana White after freaking Saints-Rams?
Great.
He's on the Saints side?
Yeah.
That's what the NFL wants, and he'll do it.
Of course he will.
Does it. He does it after his own fights.
Of course. Yeah. There's no chance he would be, like, you know, a buttoned-up NFL owner type.
Is it that, or is it just the ties to Las Vegas? Like, I get they're moving out here.
They're going
to
be here. I don't think they can use that anymore.
Well, but I think it's a legit question. Is all of the taboo gone from the casino ownership thing?
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time the NFL was hypocritical.
That's true. But they're going to have a really tough time, especially now with sports gambling coming to every state, essentially, in the next couple of years. Who are the richest people in those states? The owners of the NFL team, for the most part, they're all going to have ownership groups and ownership interest in casinos and sports books. It's just going to happen.
What else will they have ownership in?
Oh, marijuana.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Because what is every wealthy person, or most of the wealthy people here, in some form or fashion, they may not be directly involved, but, you know, some sort of connection to the weed industry.
Yeah, they have stakes.
So the NFL can't stop. They're not going to slow the tide on gambling and weed. We don't want to be connected to that at all. You don't have a choice.
Right.
There's only so many people. There's only so many freaking billionaires. Beyond that, then, you know, then we're talking what? Folks who are part of hedge funds, what do you think they own? They don't have stakes in that stuff?
Of course they do. I mean, it's going to come to a point where you just can't have this stance anymore. You're just kind of...
Because rich families, you know, legacy families, they don't, frankly, have the money to own an NFL team. A lot of them.
Yeah. It's going to be a very difficult stance to keep up.
Crazy. All right. But you think... So what's the more difficult hurdle to get over? The bombastic sidekick or the casino connection?
I think the bombastic sidekick.
Can we go back to him running, like, key parts of the team?
Yeah.
That would be brilliant.
It would be great.
Calling up other teams.
Well, he's calling the plays on defense.
Yeah. Hey, give me your bleeping first round pick, all right?
I love it. All right, we had a terrible greeting for a first round pick in one of the baseball stadiums, and football's pretty close. Is Aaron Rodgers already having trouble with the new coach?
The Big 5 at 5 is brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. Call them today for a free consultation at 702-570-9000. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Feel me, baby. It's just us. Feel good, right?
Suzanne Cofield and Company. Chrissy's here. Adam Hill. Steve Cofield. Adam, very busy. Very busy. Covering softball. Covering... comedy venues.
True. I'll be
expanding your horizons.
Sprinting out of here as soon as the show's over as well to go see some fights.
So let's recap what we started to get into a couple hours ago. Yesterday, Dana White, president of UFC, was hosting a decent-sized media event showing off their new facilities where they're gone from the old facility where they did Ultimate Fighter for years and years and years. That was... back in an industrial complex right behind the Palms. It was pretty small. So this place is spectacular where they are now, right?
By the way, with no air conditioning or bathrooms, really?
Oh, in the new place?
The old place.
Oh, the old place didn't have air conditioning?
It was unbearable.
I didn't know that.
And actually, Dana joked to a couple of us yesterday when we walked in, and he's like, first thing you notice, air conditioning? Nice and cool in here, huh? Like, yeah. There was times watching fights in that old building where you would just be looking around and people look like they're going to pass out.
Wow.
It was crazy in there.
So they're going to do contender series, tough fights, Is it also like an entertainment venue?
It can be. So, I mean, it's basically, it's configured to seat like 1,500 when they really, you know, if they really try to build out seats and everything else, they can bring 1,500 seats in and just have chairs in there. And it's kind of staggered right around the stage, but it's just a very cool venue. It's mostly built for TV. It's going to look really spectacular on TV, but the venue is very cool as well. But they kept mentioning yesterday, you know, if we want to take the cage out, we put a ring in and do boxing or kickboxing or put mats in and do jiu-jitsu tournaments or wrestling tournaments. We could have comedy shows here. And between Dana White and I've talked to Lawrence Epstein, executive over there, and also Craig Borsari, who runs all their production, they've all mentioned comedy shows there like 20 times. So clearly there's something in their plans to do some stand-up comedy shows there, to use it for things like their awards show every year, their Hall of Fame induction, those sorts of things will all be there. But really the venue is the main part of the building. I think it's, trying to remember, it's like 40,000 feet of the 130,000 foot complex is this venue, which used to be the warehouse for the Scientific Gaming Building. Now it's been converted into that venue, and then they're bringing all of their production into their in-house over at this place, so they can just run their events from all over the world and multiple times a day and do live events and do all their production. They can do all their studio shows in there as well. It's just basically one big complex that's just going to be all about producing events and producing shows and really building out their UFC Fight Pass content.
Pretty cool considering where they came from.
Yeah.
Right?
I was actually talking to Dana yesterday about, you know, how far the company has come. And certainly the headquarters kind of changed the game for them. But when him and the Fertittas first bought the UFC in 2001, his office was a map room at Fertitta Enterprises. It just had a bunch of old maps and like designs and plans for things. And he had a little desk and a phone in the corner. And that's where he started working. And
same building across from Palace Station?
Fertitta Enterprises building, which it was even before that.
And before the Gordon Biersch building?
And then they went to the UFC building on Sahara, which they still have, I believe. And then Fertitta Enterprises has a new building over by Red Rock, but then UFC built their headquarters, and then this building is right next door. And actually, they said that came about where they opened the headquarters, they were kind of walking around, and there's a window that looks out the headquarters, and Ari Emanuel looked out, and he was like, "What's that building over there?" And they're like, "What's Scientific Games?" And they're moving out, and he goes, "Buy it." And they're like, "What should we do with it?" He's like, "That's up to you, but just buy it."
Wow.
So that's how this kind of project came about, and then 6 months of construction, and here they are.
So Dana White talked about the NFL a little bit, saying the Fertittas want in. He expects them to get in at some point. He wants to be part of it. He also talked a lot of boxing, didn't he? What's going on there?
Well, he's been talking for a long time about starting a boxing promotion. He wants to be in the boxing world.
Why?
I don't know. He's always loved boxing. He started in boxing, and he thinks, you know, I had a conversation with him last night just about, like, you've always wanted to do boxing and you think you have these ideas, but is it even fixable at this point? Like, how much could you get it? Because if he was to get some fighters under contract, or as he's talking about, what he said yesterday is he's going to start bidding on the big fights. So when there's a big fight that's coming up, he's going to try to get the rights to it. He thinks he can make it happen. He said he's not sure it's fixable because there'd be too many things that have to come together. Even if he got a bunch of fighters under contract, there'd still be fighters that he didn't have, that you really couldn't make the fights happen. He said right now his idea would be to take the heavyweights. He said there's four heavyweights. There's some media members that tried to jump in and be like, there's way more than four. He's like, there's four that people are interested in right now, and you can do a round robin over the next 2 years.
I love it.
You can do a round robin over the next 2 years and have whatever two emerge as the best ones fight each other for the title at the end, and you could sell those. And he said,
but how would he get that done?
He doesn't know.
We can't make the fights now because
I know.
Everyone's got their own representation and their own goals, and they can make, you know, they're right now they're all in a position, except Ruiz. He's going to make money.
Yeah.
But the other three guys can make freaking $10, $15, $20 million a fight, fighting no one. We saw it over the weekend with Fury. That was terrible.
Yeah, and that's a problem. But he also, you know, he said one of the things you tell them is, you know, Anthony Joshua, by the way, has been the guy that he's wanted to build around for a long time.
Right.
And I think it bothered him that he lost, but I think what he was saying is Anthony Joshua loses to Deontay Wilder, it makes him a bigger star. Anthony Joshua loses to Ruiz, it's a disaster.
He's right.
And you've got to know, like, hey, take the chance on making these fights and convince the guys how much better it is for them to actually take the fights that are difficult.
But how is he going to do that?
He doesn't
when
know.
They've got the old boxing voices. And they're not all old, but unfortunately they have the boxing mentality. And he describes it perfectly. That's, you know, Joshua was sold on, hey, this is an easy fight against Ruiz. It's risky against Wilder.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but you can fight Wilder three times.
And that's
and you're
what
not
going
to, I mean, you're making a lot of money. You know, say he's making $25 million a fight. You know how much you're going to make in a Wilder fight if you do it three times?
A lot more than that.
I don't know.
But he,
I'd like to see him involved. I don't know if he can overcome it.
And he did flat out tell me that the PBC thing is not true at this time.
What does that mean?
So a lot of people have been, you know, seeing the rumors, and they were actually confirmed by some reporters, supposedly, that Endeavor, the parent company of UFC, is in negotiations to buy PBC from Al Heyman. And he said, absolutely not the case at this point. Now, there's a caveat to that.
I wish he would give some details on that.
There's a caveat to that in that he is very handcuffed right now, and you can tell that it's killing him, and that he's not allowed to talk about a lot of the future plans because, and it's kind of in the woods a little bit, but Endeavor is planning on going public and will have an IPO soon. So a lot of things he would start to say, and this is both on the record and off the record, by the way, he would start to say something and he'd be like, wait, not allowed to do that. I can't say that.
Really?
Because you can't talk about things that might happen if your company is about to be public. Like, it's throwing too much at the investors. It's you know, ruining the pool a little bit. If you're saying you're going to do this, and then all of a sudden an investor buys in based on, hey, he said they were going to build this, then you just can't.
I know, but he's the last guy to try to muzzle
for
sure. Stuff like this.
For sure. And he's open about that. He's like, this is not my, it's not, not my thing, really. And he actually has said he doesn't think they should go public. So he's on that path. But yeah, there's a lot that he can't say right now. And he's like, I have plans. I have things I want to do, and I just can't talk about them right now. And it sounds like they have some crazy plans still for right over by where the headquarters and the new Apex building is now. There's still a strip of land in between that they own. And I heard some of the possible ideas that could be crazy over there. But they've got huge plans.
Does he care if Conor McGregor comes back?
He told me no.
Negotiating pawn? Ploy?
He told me he doesn't care. And he said yesterday, he reiterated, he goes, what did I tell you when he fought Floyd? He might never fight again. Now, he did fight one big fight against Khabib and made a bunch of money. But he said when a guy makes $100 million, and he actually said yesterday $120, when a guy makes $120 million,
wow,
it's tough to get them to train and go to the gym every day and try to work and get better. He said he would love to work with Conor, but he also, another thing he pointed out, he goes, I don't think people are talking enough about the fact that he now has a very successful liquor company and that he's making a ton of money on and that he doesn't have to fight. Now, I'm sure deep down Dana wants him to fight. But as he pointed out, he said, listen, when Ronda was going to walk away, she was our biggest star at the time, even though she'd lost. I wasn't out there telling her, begging her to fight and, hey, we need you to come back. Like, we understood. She wants to go away, she can go away. If Conor wants to go away, he can go away. I still think the ESPN deal is a big hindrance. He said that's absolutely not the case, and he said it's not even about money at this point. It's just whether Conor actually wants to go fight again. So we'll see. I know Conor's coach yesterday said he believes he will fight by the end of the year, and he wants him to fight Nate Diaz again. But Dana said it's really not his biggest concern right now. He's like, people ask me every day, but it's not my pressing issue right now whether Conor wants to fight.
Is that actually the greatest feather in Dana White's cap and the Fertittas? That they could have two of their biggest stars walk away when they're, you know, 29, 30, 31 years old and just say, you know what, I'm set. Because that never happens. Like, never fight again.
Yeah.
Like, for all the criticism that UFC gets for not paying their athletes, they may have two people who could still make lots of money, although, you know, Ronda was in some trouble there. She was really going to have to sharpen her skills. But they could walk away and be happy and make money elsewhere and be set for life and not come back 17 times with no money.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty good. Now, and again, they have gotten a position where they can actually just make money outside of the sport. So, you know, I think that's a good thing to make them
finish.
No, to put them in a position where they can still make money. It's not like they're they have to save their money. They can still generate income without actually stepping in.
Or is this also, well, it's not also. Is it because you're dealing with two people who, not that they came from great backgrounds, but there are so many fighters in the history, especially boxing, but in MMA too, who that's all they had. That was their only option.
Yeah.
These two were pretty smart cats. Maybe, you know, things weren't going exactly the way they wanted as, you know, teens and 20-somethings, but they're both pretty smart. And unfortunately, there are a lot of pugilists over the years who, hey, that's all they had, you know? They had to turn to boxing to make money. They had to turn to MMA to make money.
Sure. I think
again, too philosophical, too cheesy?
I think it's different. And,
sorry.
And, and I know you don't love the Ronda Rousey was homeless before the UFC story either.
No, I mean, I said that both, you know, didn't have awesome lives.
Yeah.
You know?
Connor was working as a plumber.
They weren't blue bloods.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
wasn't rich kids with a hobby and they turned out to be talented. But what I'm saying is I mean, maybe you'll correct me. I don't think they were both destitute with, you know, no futures.
No, then that's how they're sold. But yeah. I think you're right. I don't think that's actually necessarily the case completely.
Clearly, when you talk to them over the years, they're both smart.
Yeah, and Ronda was an Olympic medalist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and Connor certainly is smart. Connor sold himself. Connor was like a star before he even really fought. Like, he just talked himself into being a superstar.
What is it going to look like this year for Daniel Jones with the Giants as far as the fans go? Hopefully it wasn't repped at Yankee Stadium.
Finley Toyota in the Valley Auto Mall has the largest Toyota service facility in Nevada.
It's Cofield and Company's...
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
It smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
We close it out in the grab bag. Steve, Adam, Chrissy, nice job today by JBT. All of the show will be podcasted, archived up at lvsportsnetwork.com. We've been pumping out short videos on Twitter, Facebook, and lvsportsnetwork.com. Chrissy did a really good one yesterday where she discussed the LeVar Ball versus Molly Karam dust up. So we talk all the time about how weird the media and fans are in Boston, Philly, and New York, the corridor, the Northeast corridor. Daniel Jones, heroes welcome, Giants quarterback last night at Yankee Stadium?
Not quite.
But so what the hell happened?
They introduced him at the game and immediate boos from the crowd.
Come on, that's bad.
He hasn't done anything yet.
That's bad.
He hasn't done anything.
Like, I'm being truthful. If you know how much I dislike the Hackenberg pick?
Of course.
I would never boo him at a game. At a baseball game, at a Yankee game, or, you know, I never went to Mets, or very rarely went to the Mets, but Jets-Mets combo, but in my case, Jets-Yankees. But I would never boo the guy before he played a freaking game. Like, what's the point?
I mean, if I were in Buffalo at the time and, like, at a Buffalo Pilots game, whatever
and
team
Flutie
was,
showed up?
Well, Flutie, for sure. I mean, but he's done something. If it was before Josh Allen took his first snap, yeah, absolutely would.
You would not boo.
Of
no,
course I would. Of course I would.
You would not.
Absolutely.
I don't like booing. I'm not going to kill people for booing their own. I don't like doing it.
Yeah, I mean,
I did get mad one time in the Yankee Stadium bleachers when, you know, they were trying a lot of pitchers and they had Terry Mulholland, who was on his last legs after being pretty decent with the Phillies, and they were booing him. I'm like, all right, cut it out. It's not helping. He's already feeling the pressure. Stop.
You're trying to dissuade the boos to help out his confidence?
Yes.
That's nice.
I tried to do my part.
It's a nice thing. It's a nice act.
Quick hit. One more time in the bag. This one will be covered. Are we seriously having issues with Brett Favre and LeFleur?
Not Brett Favre.
Did I say Brett Favre? Yeah. Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Well, he gave some quotes about...
Favre's pissed.
He gave some quotes that were very subtle about not having enough freedom in this offense.
Oh, God. Already?
Like, it's already starting. This is not going to end well.
He called McCarthy a moron. Then they kind of backed off that whole thing.
LeFleur is too regimented and sticks to the game plan too much.
Bring back Favre! He would just go out there, just rip the ball around the park.
Sling it around.